Mr. Petty will be back here on the March the 17th and the 24th. He'll be speaking, and he has already mentioned to us that he will be speaking in depth about the Passover and also about the days of unleavened bread on those 2 days. There's another facet that I will be speaking on today that Mike Fucci must have been reading my mind about, is about repentance and baptism. Before the Passover, and so there are several that are still contemplating being baptized, and so we want to go over some of those things about that to help explain a few things. So Mr. Petty, like I said, will be back on the 17th and the 24th to really go into depth about the Passover and the days of unleavened bread. Title of today's sermon is Christ is the Gate. Christ is the Gate. He is the Good Shepherd. He protects the sheep. And if you read later in depth in John chapter 10, verses 1 through 18, I won't go through all the parts because I'll be paraphrasing a whole lot of it as we go through this. But make a note, if you will, to read the account about that. Christ, he gave the example of a shepherd, where the shepherd lies down by the gate, the door, and anyone that tries to come in any other way is a thief and a robber, which is talking about Satan and his demons that will try to get in a different way, or false prophets, to try to rob you of your position in God's family and in God's kingdom. But God gave us his son, Jesus the Christ, to come here, and he is the good shepherd, and he is the gate. We have all read, and we know that our Savior, Jesus, is the good shepherd. He is the door. The only way that we can enter into eternal life is through him. There's no other way that we could do that. No sense in even trying to get around that. Again, Jesus is the door for us to receive that eternal life that we all hope to have, to be able to live forever without any aches or pains or hurts, and to be doing the will of God, whatever he has planned for us to do. And Jesus shows us in this life the changes that we must make in our lives to be overcomers of sin and to be on the right path, to be focused exactly on what we need to be doing to be in God's family. If you will, turn to Mark, Book of Mark, chapter 1, and let's read verses 14 and 15. See what Jesus gives a command here, what he says here. He says, "Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel," which is the good news of God's coming kingdom, the kingdom of God, "and saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.'" Well, when he said, you know, the time is fulfilled, well, he's not talking that this is the end of time. Is what he's talking about is that it was time for him to be there and to tell everyone about the kingdom of God. And what does he say here? He says, "Repent and believe in that gospel." That good news is what he tells us to do. Jesus Christ tells us that, you know, that we are to repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for what? The remission of sins. We must have a repented heart. We must have to have that feeling in us that we need to change. We need God's Holy Spirit living in us to make us a true Christian. Let's turn over to Romans. You know, when we are counseling someone for baptism, Romans, I always have them to read chapters 5, 6, 7, and 8. It is chock full of the information that is needed prior to baptism. But let's go to Romans chapter 8 here. And let's read verses 5 through 11. 5 through 11 there. "For those who live according to the flesh, they set their minds on the things of the flesh." You know, whatever comes naturally. If it feels good, do it, is the thoughts probably there. "But those who live according to the Spirit," according to the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity, or an enemy against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. Verse 8, so then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God, because the flesh is an enemy to God, and the thoughts of the that is in human nature. There has to be a change going on here. Verse 9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. If you have those qualifications done, if you had a willing heart to want to change, to repent, to turn from your sins, to be baptized, to have hands laid on you, to receive God's Holy Spirit, if the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of God, he is not his. Pretty plain words there. You really don't belong to God or Jesus Christ if you don't have God's Holy Spirit living in you. But there is a process that we have to go through to receive that Holy Spirit. Verse 10, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead. Yes, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Righteousness, being obedient to God. Verse 11, but the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, which is God the Father, dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So we must have God's Holy Spirit living in us. We must be repenting of our sins. There is a process that we go through in this conversion from thinking of the human flesh ways to Spirit. We talk about repentance, which means to set your mind to turn away and to avoid sin, to be on the alert for the rest of your life. To be on the alert, we need to run from anything that looks like or sounds like sin. Don't be embarrassed by your friends or anyone else. If there's some sinning going on that you can spot, run and leave. Don't care what they think. Turn to Acts chapter 3. Got one scripture there, Acts chapter 3, and we'll read verse 19. Chapter 3 and verse 19, it says, repent, turn from sin, therefore, and be converted, be changed, be converted from the human nature thoughts that you have to the spiritual thoughts and the righteousness of the fruits of the Spirit, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. There has to be a change. Now, you've heard me probably say this before, but there's a lot of people that still hold on to their past sins, even after they've been baptized. They will say, well, you know, I still worry about, you know, when I was a teenager, I did this and I did that. And then they, on top of it, they start justifying doing wrong and committing sin. And they say, well, you know, if it wasn't for this other person, I probably wouldn't have done that. No, you got to stop justifying. You have to accept the blood of Jesus Christ. He paid the price for all of the sins of all humanity from every person that's ever lived or ever will be born. He took them all on once, one time. He was the ultimate sacrifice. And God the Father says that he forgets the sin as far as east is from west. But why do we still want to pick up our old sins and worry about them? That cheapens the blood of Jesus Christ. Stop doing that if it's even in any thoughts in your head. Real repentance and conversion is not based on artificial emotions just stirred up at the moment. We don't have altar calls. We don't want to have people, you know, to have that temporary stirred up feeling of emotions in the moment. We want them to read. We want them to have the knowledge. We want them to understand and believe in the good news of God's coming kingdom and the price that Jesus paid for all of us. We don't want them to have just a little emotional feeling that will be fleeting, where Satan can come in and knock you off your feet. Believing that God is real is what we have to study and to know and to understand, that God is real, created everything that there ever is, and it made it all possible for us. He is directly involved with his creation. We are his creation. In fact, we are at the top of his creation. We are made in the image of God. But we need to change. And this life that we're living right now is a time for us to having thoughts about that and to be changing, to live in the character of God. He allows us to choose his way. He doesn't force it on us. He says, hey, I got something that I want to give you. I got something I want to offer to you. It's called eternal life, to be in my family. But you have to choose to want to do that. And Satan is on the other hand. He's saying to you all the time, hey, hell ain't half full yet. We're having more fun. We have to choose God's way that leads to eternal life. But we must want to truly surrender our lives to him. We have to give up on our old way of living. No matter if you're embarrassed with your friends or whatever, don't worry about them. Repentance then becomes very deep and personal to us and starts a very close relationship with our true Heavenly Father. That relationship is what we want to build on every day. We are to grow in grace and knowledge after baptism. We are to start that growing in grace and knowledge right now, before you're baptized, to start learning the truth about God the Father, who he really is, and what Jesus the Christ has done for us. So then what is sin? It's very simple. 1 John 3:4 says that it's the transgression of the law. The biblical definition shows us that sin consists of two things: thoughts and actions. If they are not in harmony with God's will, it's sin. Jesus gives us an example for us to understand. Let's turn to Matthew 5. Matthew chapter 5. And let's read verses 21 and 22 to start with there. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. Verse 22, but I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, raka, which means call somebody empty-headed, stupid, or something like that, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. It's very serious information that we are learning here. Let's drop down to verse 27 and 28. Jesus still speaking. He says, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Now this goes to show that sin is in our thoughts and also in our actions, both ways. It's sin either way. So whether we are mentally or physically breaking God's law, we are sinning. And it needs to be repented of if we want to be in God's family and in his coming kingdom. Mike mentioned in the sermonette there that prior to the Passover, we are to do a very close examination of ourselves. After being baptized and having God's Holy Spirit, what's the only thing that can separate us from God, from hearing our prayers? It's sin. We need to clear that up completely, because at the Passover, we are renewing our commitment that we made at baptism, that we would be living a righteous life according to God and His will, not ours. That is the commitment that we made at baptism. Once God calls us to true understanding, we must repent, we must turn from the thoughts and the deeds that will conflict with God's will. And then we go on to the next step, which is involved in baptism. Baptism involves the symbolic burial of the old self, symbolic burial, going down into the water. In the New Testament, the Greek word used for baptism is baptis, which means to immerse or to plunge into. It does not mean to sprinkle or pour like some of the denominations do out in the world. And let's read a little bit what the Apostle Paul had to say in Romans chapter 6. Let's get into Romans chapter 6. Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8 are very strong chapters concerning repentance and baptism. Let's start with verse 1 and go through 13 here. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. I like the way that Paul writes. He's blunt and gets right to the core, right to the heart of what he's talking about. Some of the things that we are teaching and learning in Spokesman Club, which we will have tonight. Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin in baptism shall live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Has to be a change in us. We just can't say, well, once saved, always saved. I went under the water, and here I am, and everything's cool forever. I don't have to do anything else. No, we have to walk in newness of life. We have to change. Verse 5, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, our old ways, our old self, our old thoughts, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Now, you do remember the story, of course, how the miracles that God performed to bring Israel out of Egypt. He brought them out of the slavery of Egypt. And he made that very plain to us. He is showing us that he is bringing us out of the slavery of sin. Verse 7, for he who has died has been freed from sin, who has been baptized. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. He paid the price for all humanity once and for all. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Which is what we need to do, make sure that we have it in our thoughts and our mind. After being baptized, had hands laid on you to receive God's Holy Spirit, we need to live for God, in a righteous life. Verse 11, likewise you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Yes, God the Father calls us, gives us the offer, and if we have a willing heart and accept it, then he turns us over to Jesus Christ to nourish us and work with us, to keep us focused on the road that we need to make it, to be overcomers. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Fight it. Run away from it. That you should obey it and its lust. Don't do that. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments to righteousness to God. Wake up every morning, thank God for another day of life. Ask him what he would have for you to do today, if there's anything special, and to lead you and to guide you into the righteous life, to help you to remember, to have your eyes open and not be fooled by sin or anybody trying to convince you of it. So in baptism, we should be immersed in water. Yes, we should, all the way under, symbolically burying the old self in a watery grave. You're turning your back on your old self when you go down into that water. The act of baptism would be meaningless unless we first come to a deep and personal realization of our sins and of our need for forgiveness by God. We have to come to that realization. Yes, I've done wrong. Help me, Father, to pick out all the parts that I have done that's against your will. Search your soul, search your mind, and especially at this time before the Passover. We want to be able to take the Passover in a worthy manner, not have any sins obstructing the way. And don't hang on to your past sins. Jesus paid the price. He's not going to do it again. He did it once for all. In thinking of forgiveness, brings our thoughts to our Savior Jesus and what he did for us. And why did he and God the Father decide to do this? What is God? God is love. Jesus Christ is love. They loved us. Again, we are made in the image of God. We are at the top of the list of all of his creation. And he is wanting to expand his family. Calls us, and we have to choose. He is not going to force himself on us and say, hey, I'm just going to give you this without any changes. There is conditions. We must repent of our sins. We must be baptized. Why? Jesus Christ is the gate. He is the good shepherd. He is going to shepherd us through this life, what we have left of it right now. And they are doing this to reconcile us to God the Father. Jesus came and lived in the flesh to bring the gospel, the good news of God's coming kingdom, and to be the sacrifice to pay for all the sins of humanity. Jesus Christ took all of our places on death row. And we have to think about that. I'll be conducting the Passover service again this year here. And you're going to hear a whole lot more about that then. For us, Christ is the gate. For we humans, that's the only way that we can enter into God's kingdom. And we had better be paying attention to exactly what needs to be done in our hearts and our minds so that we can be ready. We don't know how many days each of us have to live. Tomorrow's not promised to anybody. We know we're temporary. You know, somebody can say, well, you know, I've got terminal cancer, and they tell me I'm going to die. Yeah, we're all terminal. We're all going to die, but we need to be ready before we die, because we can live forever if we choose to grab hold of it and grasp it. Again, Christ became the sacrifice, our Savior, because he knew that sin would permanently destroy us. We continue that way and reject God, it's over. It's done. It's as if we have never existed, never to be resurrected. To never be reconciled to God the Father, to eternal life, because of our sins. We don't want that to happen to us. The worst words that a human being could ever hear from Jesus Christ is, I never knew you. How sad that would be. There was no way that we could save ourselves. No way at all. Christ had to come because he was the only one that could be the perfect sacrifice without sin. And he took our place on death row. He paid for our sin. We need to claim it and hold on to it. And to not think about past sins, that is a slap in the face to Jesus Christ. Revelation 12, verse 9, you don't have to turn there, but it tells us that we are to grasp just how awful sin is. We need to sit down and think about the consequences. We all need to look around and realistically take a good hard look at the fruit that this world is producing, a world that is in direct influence of Satan the devil, who is the prince over the earth right now. He never sleeps, and he goes to and fro, back and forth to God's throne. He is the accuser of the brethren. He wants me and you to fail, and he's laughing all the way. And what do we see? We see humans lust after all kinds of sorts of things, from the flesh to all kinds of physical richness or whatever, and selfishness, causing families to come apart, more and more divorces, and unwed mothers. These things happen, which cause single parents with many babies to care for, with poor or no real guidance to show them how to grow up and to live. Little babies that will grow up and be kind of lost in the weeds, so to speak, with their future going downhill every day because they don't know how to live. Their parents didn't know either. We see sin in many forms. Watch the news in the mornings and you can see what happened overnight. Horrible things. Murders, and just watch the morning news, it'll make you sick. When a person considers baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, we must focus very soberly on the great love and spirit of sacrifice that was made by our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Need to think about what he did. He was on high with God the Father from the beginning. And the plan of God was to send him to live here in the flesh for two things. To bring the good news of God's coming kingdom, that we can have that hope. That hope that we can be in the family of God and have eternal life. And the other was the way to make it happen. Christ had to come and live in the flesh. You know, when Christ was there on the tree, God the Father had to turn his back on his only begotten Son. Why? Because he took on all of the sin of all humanity. What separates anybody from God? Sin. Once the price was paid, he resurrected Jesus back to heaven with him. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Let's read verses 14 through 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens. Yes. When he was resurrected, when God the Father resurrected him, he passed through the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God, he became our high priest. Let us hold fast our confession. Hold on to the truth that God has been giving us. And knowing that the only way our sins could be paid for was by one that was unspotted, that did not sin, and could pay that price. Verse 15, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. All humans are weak. We are weaker than what we even think we are. We might think, oh, hey, I'm solid as a rock. Don't think on it. Pray to God every day and ask for repentance daily. Daily repentance. Daily Bible study. Drink in that spiritual food that we all desperately need. but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. None of us could have done that. Never could. Jesus Christ is the gate. He is the shepherd. Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We anoint people all the time, people that are in time of need. Jesus Christ not only died for our past sins, but he also took on our infirmities. And at the very second that Jesus died there on the tree, God the Father tore the veil in two from top to bottom there in the temple, which gives us access to God the Father, asking to help our infirmities, to send us healing. And God the Father says, come boldly to him. We can come boldly because we believe in Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that he made. And by the stripes that he took, all the beatings that he took, we can ask for healing. There are many doctors will say, well, you know, this person over here has only got 3 days to live. Well, who do they think they are? They can do some things to kind of help with broken bones or something like that. They're not in charge of any human's life. Only God the Father is in charge of that, and he will give what is best for each and every one of us. If he wants to take us and say, hey, time's up, accept it. If not, each day of our life, we need to be thinking and focusing on exactly what we need to be doing and keeping our life unspotted, keeping it clean, and praising God and thanking him for it. But in time of need, in healing, or whatever we need as far as that goes, we can come boldly to God the Father, and Jesus Christ is our high priest. He is our advocate. When a person considers baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, you know, we must be soberly thinking about that. So, is baptism really necessary? Yes, it is. We can see as we've been reading along here. Baptism is very necessary. The old person has to die, and we have to be resurrected out of the water as a new person. Some think is all they have to do to become a Christian and to be accepted by God the Father and Jesus Christ is to just say, well, I accept Jesus. But the question still remains, does the Word of God still command baptism? Yes, it does. It has a very strong meaning. We would be selling ourselves short if we say, well, you know, I accept Jesus and that's all I need to do. Once saved, I'll be saved. No, that is a complete deception. As we have read in Acts 2:38, where Peter, you know, this was on the day of Pentecost, when he said, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. For what? The remission of sins. And in Matthew chapter 3, let's read this account. Let's turn back to Matthew chapter 3. Not Malachi, Matthew 3. Okay, Matthew chapter 3. Let's read verses 13 through 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan River, to be baptized. He wanted John to baptize him. Verse 14, and John tried to prevent him. John saying, I need to be baptized by you, speaking to Jesus, and you are coming to me? He had a question on his face right there in front of Jesus. But Jesus answered and he said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness, the commands that God wants us to have. And Jesus did that as an example because he was living in the flesh at that time. Not that he sinned, but he did it as an example that, yes, everybody needs to be baptized. It was the example that he was setting there. And then Jesus later gave a command to his disciples. Let's turn to Matthew 28. Matthew chapter 28. And let's read verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and he spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Verse 20, teaching them to observe all things. Now, there should be some quotation marks around all, to observe all things that he was teaching, that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We have a high priest, Jesus the Christ, passed through the heavens at the right hand of God. We can call on him and God the Father boldly, directly, together. It is not arrogance to come boldly before God and state your case. We are not to beat around the bush. We are to search our hearts and our souls and our minds and to speak boldly to our Creator of what we need. He wants us to have that relationship with him. And then let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Get the pages apart. Chapter 4, and let's read verse 14. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy, how? With the laying on of hands of the eldership. When we lay hands on someone, we are asking God to impart his Holy Spirit to you. It's God the Father that does the healing. It's God the Father that will lead and direct you with his Holy Spirit. To receive God's Holy Spirit, we must repent of our sins, be baptized. The old person has to die in that watery grave. And then as we pull you up out of that water, it's a resurrection to be a new person. A new person to walk in a new way of life. So baptism is a vital part of the process of salvation. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Of course, after laying on of hands has been put on you to receive God's Holy Spirit, then we can be the overcomers that we need to be, the overcomers of this human flesh, to show God the Father and Jesus Christ that we want to have the character of God the Father, to have the fruits of the Spirit living in us as habits. Well, what about being baptized into a church or a denomination using the name of Jesus Christ in the ceremony? Huh? What about that? Should this be done? Well, we find the answer in Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Turn back there. I don't want to keep turning to scriptures, but these are important. Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Baptized into his death. We were baptized into Jesus Christ, not into a church or a denomination. We were baptized into Jesus Christ. And you don't have to turn there, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 through 14, here's basically what it says. It says, we are in the body of Christ, which is we become one body, made up of many members. Each one of us then becomes a member of the body of Christ. So how should we be thinking? How should we be doing? How should we be living our lives? All baptized members are now Christians, and we are to grow in grace and knowledge. Well, we know how to grow in grace and knowledge. We need to do our daily Bible study, get that spiritual food every day of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ, to whom be the glory both now and forever. That was in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. We are to give the glory to Jesus Christ forever for giving us this spiritual food and guiding us and leading us along. He is the shepherd. He is the one that lays at the gate and protects us from Satan and his demons in many ways every day that you don't even realize. In your prayers, thank God for protecting you from Satan and his demons and allowing you to still be heard in your prayers to God the Father. We are gradually transformed. When we are baptized and had hands laid on us, we don't get the full load all then. It's a gradual transformation. Because along the way, God the Father and Jesus Christ wants to see if we still have a willing heart, that we are hungering and thirsting for God's truth and his way of life, and longing for the return of Jesus Christ and to be changed into a spirit being and to live forever. But this gradual transformation, we receive this by the renewing of our minds, and we renew by our Bible study and prayers. And that was in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. At the time of your baptism, right before we put you under the water, we ask you a question. Have you repented of your sins? That is the last question that we ask you before we bury you into the death of Jesus Christ, into him. And after going completely under the water, which symbolizes your old self dying, you are brought up out of the watery grave, which pictures rising to live a new life. And then God's ordained ministers will lay hands on your head, asking our Heavenly Father to impart his Holy Spirit to you. And it was God the Father who called you, and if you were willing, have to have that willing heart. He turned you over, like I mentioned earlier, to Jesus Christ for the help and the work that each of us need. We all have a lot of barnacles on us that needs to be knocked off and changed. To be overcomers, we need God's Holy Spirit in us. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:19 it says, "Do not quench the Spirit." When you're being led and guided by God's Holy Spirit, don't reject it. Don't fight against it. Don't try to justify your sins to Jesus Christ. That is wrong. Accept his sacrifice, that he paid the price. Don't quench God's Holy Spirit working with you. Don't fight it. With Christ working with us, we will begin a gradual transformation and the renewing of our minds. We will bear the fruits of the Spirit that are listed in Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Are we living by the fruits of the Spirit? If not, before the Passover, read about those and ask God to help you to change and to repent of your sins. Be ready for the Passover. In closing, the person who comes to God must give him or herself to God in total surrender. Don't try to hang on to this futile life of living by the flesh. Don't hang on to it. Don't hang on to it at all. You know where the safest place is for all of us? Is to live a righteous life and then die and be in the grave. Satan can't touch you. The race is run. It's over. And in a twinkling of the eye, even if you're in the grave for 1,000 years, in a twinkling of the eye, Jesus Christ will return, because you have no memory in the grave, no thoughts at all. How horrible that would be if you had thoughts in the grave all that time. No, that's not the way. We must be prepared to live by God's will for the rest of our lives, This is the commitment that we made at baptism to Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father. Our Father God has a great plan for us, His children. Again, we are the top of the list of His creation. We are made in God's image. He wants us to have His character and live in real living, in the real living, which will be in the spirit realm. This physical life is only for learning and testing. That's what this is all about. He made us temporary on purpose. This is only for learning and testing right now. And if we follow God's will, our names will be written in the book of life. And when Christ returns, we will be like Him. And we will receive the gift of eternal life. As Mike mentioned in his sermonette about before Passover, there might be some that may want to be baptized. And you can see Mr. Petty, Mike didn't mention it, or myself. I have baptized many people. And if you would like to be counseled for baptism before Passover, please see Mr. Petty or myself, and we can sure take care of that for you. And we will explain very vividly what is expected of you, what the commitment is that you will be making, and what the blessings are for doing it. We will explain all that for you. And if you want to be baptized privately, we can do that. Or if you want to be baptized here in front of the church, that is your prerogative. That really makes no difference. But come see us if you are thinking about being baptized before the Passover. We will certainly do our best to explain it to you. Good to see everybody.